New Testament Christianity is on the air. This gospel broadcast is designed to exalt Jesus Christ in original biblical Christianity. It is our desire to have no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. And now, your evangelist Ray Bennett of Delmarva Evangelism, Mr. Bennett.
Jesus Christ is the only hope of the world. There's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved, Acts 4 and verse 12. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 3:11. All authority hath been given unto me, Jesus said, in heaven and in earth, Matthew chapter 28. And verse 18, Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." The Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to all that believe, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, "For I am determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And wherever you're tuning in on this broadcast today, we want to join with the great Apostle Paul in saying, all we want to preach among you and know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm not preaching to you Protestantism. I'm not preaching Romanism. I'm not preaching denominationalism. I'm not preaching any denomination. I'm not preaching loyal to any conference or any sorority. My obligation is not to any bishop. My obligation is to Christ, the bishop of our souls. And Jesus alone is the head of the church. And alone are we going to give an account to Him. And so it behooves us to get into the Word and study to show ourselves approved unto God, to be a workman that is not ashamed. The Bible says, give attendance to reading. The Bible says, blessed is he that readeth. The Bible says in Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. And so that's what we try to do on this straight-shooting, non-denominational Bible broadcast, New Testament Christianity. We're wrapping up another mini-series today on the subject of the world's greatest revival. That was the great revival described on the day of Pentecost as it's revealed in Acts chapter 2. The world's greatest revival had the world's greatest preparation program prepared by God before the foundation of the world. It was held on Pentecost, the world's greatest occasion. It was witnessing the preaching of the world's greatest preachers. Would to God we had more non-compromising, straight-shooting preachers like those apostles. I wonder what they're teaching these new preachers in some of these institutions. They're coming out. They're not emphasizing the plan of salvation. They're not emphasizing one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. They're not emphasizing the restoration of first-century Christianity. It makes me wonder, according to a sermon I had in one of the recent camp meetings, who's converting who? It makes me wonder who's converting who today. Are we converting the world, or is the world converting us? Someone said, as long as a ship is in the sea, that's where it was intended to be. But when the sea starts getting into the ship, there's trouble, and we need to begin bailing. And the same thing is true about the Lord's church. When the church is in the world, that's where the Lord put it. But when the world starts getting into the church, it's time to have an old-fashioned revival. And so on the day of Pentecost, they witnessed the preaching of the world's greatest preachers who preached the world's greatest message, and they had the world's greatest results. You remember as we were going off of the air last week, we pointed out that after Peter had accused the people present on Pentecost of crucifying their Messiah, they said after they were pricked in their hearts, cut to the soul because of what they had done. You remember the Lord said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He knew that they were ignorant in killing Him, their own Messiah and Savior that was spoken of by all the prophets. And they said, "What shall we do?" And Peter told them to repent and be baptized. And there were 3,000, listen to this, and they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. The world's greatest revival had the world's greatest result. About 3,000 souls repented and were baptized for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit that very day. There's something that's very interesting in this passage that perhaps sometime we overlook it. The Bible says, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. I would like to submit that those of you that are holding off from being immersed, like the Bible says, those of you that are holding off from being immersed for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, those of you that are holding off from going down into the waters of Christian immersion for the remission of sins, it's because of one reason. As of this point, you have not gladly received the word. When you gladly receive the word, you'll be baptized. When you gladly receive the word, you'll meet around the Lord's table. When you gladly receive the word, you'll do what the Lord tells you to do. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Then the last point in this message, the world's greatest revival, is they witnessed the world's greatest after effects. It's wonderful to see the effects of a revival, even for months or perhaps even years after the end of any given revival. It's great to see lives changed and homes rearranged. It's great to hear people, when they speak, they've cleaned up their language. We were recently sitting in a restaurant in the United States, in Salisbury, Maryland, in a popular cookie-cutter restaurant. My wife and I were reading the paper, drinking coffee, waiting to order the meal, and a gentleman sitting with his wife and another couple behind us, that gentleman was cursing with almost every breath, taking the name of God in vain, taking the name of Christ in vain, until I was led, my spirit was moved to share with him and challenge him about his language, and especially in the presence of those women. My friends, an old-fashioned revival will clean up your language. An old-fashioned revival will clean up your attitude. Thank God for revivals, especially revivals that have results and revivals that have lingering long after effects. In Acts 2 and verse 41, the Bible says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Now listen to this. This represents the after effects. And they, who's the they? The they are the ones that said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The they are the ones that were told that they had crucified Christ. The they are the ones that were told to be baptized for the remission of sins. This represents the they, and the Bible says, "And they," the 3,000 souls approximately, "and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers." Can you imagine any better after effects for a revival than this? Those people that had been washed in the blood, those people that had heard the gospel, been challenged about their sin, those people that had repented and been baptized along with about 3,000 total, can you imagine that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers? There were four things that characterized and represented tremendous to be desired after effects of revival. It says the they here continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. When they continued in the apostles' doctrine, that meant that they continued in the apostles' teaching. One thing that is being minimized in the churches today is doctrine. Preachers will even ridicule preaching all the time on doctrine. But friends, you can't speak one word about the teachings of Jesus without doctrine. You can't preach one sermon of truth without doctrine. You can't be a preacher of the Word without doctrine. You might claim that you don't believe in doctrine. That's a sign of weakness. That's a sign of liberalism. That's a sign of limp-wristed mama's boy preaching. That's a sign of anemic preaching. That's a sign that preachers are ashamed of the truth, ashamed of the Word, and they want to use modern techniques for growth. Why, techniques that they can use at Home Depot or Walmart or Sears and Roebuck. But friends, we're not in the business of copying the techniques of the department store industry. We're in the business of copying the techniques of the first century church. And the techniques here represented continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. As a tremendous desired after effect of revival, what does it mean? that they continued in the apostles' doctrine? Well, they continued preaching faith, repentance, confession, immersion for the remission of sins. They continued preaching the Lord's Supper. They continued preaching prayer. They continued in their preaching and teaching holiness. They continued in the Word of God. They continued in what the apostles preached and taught. And if you want to know what the apostles' doctrine is, you just read the book of Acts. You read Romans and Ephesians. You read the epistles. You read the writings of the apostles. They're the writings that we need to follow, not the latest popular book that comes down the pike. As far as the latest technique, a lot of people have turned and a lot of preachers have turned to internet preachers and bookstore preachers. Well, we need apostolic preachers that get into the Word of God and get their messages from the Bible, not from the internet and the outlines in bookstores. A lot of these that are writing those outlines anyway wouldn't recognize the gospel if they saw it coming down the road with a hat on. So I want to encourage you Bible-believing preachers to preach the truth. And those of you that are Christians, follow the example of the Bible and continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Then, secondly, they continued in fellowship. That word fellowship means sharing. Everything from sharing in their love and mutual gatherings together to the offering. The fellowship even included the offering. And so they continued in the overall fellowship, not just eating. A lot of people think that eating is fellowship. And consequently, many institutions for the last 50 years have had a philosophy of meeting, eating, and retreating. Well, fellowship is not just eating. It's good fellowship when we do eat. But fellowship is sharing together in Christ and in the gospel and in the Word and in our stewardship and in our giving. And that was all a part of the after effects of this world's greatest revival. Then the after effects were not only continuing in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, but in breaking of bread. We learned that the early Christians met every Lord's Day to break bread. Before there were choirs, they broke bread. Before there were praise bands, they broke bread. And by the way, I've learned that there's something harder to find than a needle in a haystack, and it's a praise band in prayer meeting. But before all of these, they gathered together around the Lord's table on the Lord's Day to break bread. On the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And so they continued regularly, the Bible teaches, on the first day of the week, they continued in the breaking of bread, and then they continued in prayers. It's wonderful to think of this world's greatest revival. God loved it, and He planned it from before the world. He laid it into the hearts of the prophets, and He picked out that glorious day of Pentecost described in Acts chapter 2. The Lord Jesus came and He handpicked the preachers that were going to come out of the starting gate preaching on the day of the beginning of the church, the kingdom of God upon this earth. And I'm so thankful for the results. 3,000 repented and were baptized for the remission of sins. And I'm thankful for the after effects. They continued steadfastly apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. And if you don't have in your area a church that worships like this and follows this example, you can start one in your own home. We'll give you help if we can. But all you need is the New Testament and follow the example of the book of Acts in the New Testament, and you can organize a New Testament church, whether you're in England or Scotland or Ireland or France or Africa or any country in the world, including the United States. Be firm in the Lord. Be tuned in. Next week, let's close with prayer. Father in heaven, thank You for the gospel. Thank You for salvation. Thank You for the truth. Thank You for the opportunity to preach so wide and far New Testament Christianity. Take the glory, Father, in all things we praise You through Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to New Testament Christianity, a non-denominational, Bible-centered broadcast designed to promote the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism of the Word of God. Tune in next week for more Heaven High, Hell Deep, and Worldwide Shotgun Barrel Straight Preaching. Address all correspondence to Raymond S. Bennett, P.O. Box 1507, Millsboro, Delaware 19966, or call 302-542-3744.